What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 127 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Payman.
I'm Mason.
And I'm Phineas.
And I was going to say today we also have Phineas in the room. So as you may have noticed, we've been running some of our favorite episodes the past couple weeks. And well, we'll be recording a couple new episodes throughout the end of the year, both internal and with some guests. You'll also notice that we do replay some of our true favorites. And for a lot of people, there's a bunch of episodes that you may not have heard yet now that we've been doing this for almost 3 years. So really excited for you guys to hear those. But I'll let Mason touch on some of the stuff we have coming up the rest of the year as well.
Yeah, I think definitely glad that you brought that up. I think the point about you saying we don't really like to half-ass anything, I think is really what this comes down to. You know, we're both traveling a lot for work the rest of the year and just have a lot of big moments going on, like you said, and just didn't really have the time to deliver the best show that we've been doing for the last 2.5 years. I almost couldn't believe it when you said that, by the way. But I do think on the more positive side that in the new year, I think we're planning just some things for the show that are really like the biggest and best things to date. I think that all really center around like our flagship store that we posted a little teaser about a couple weeks ago. But that coming next month, I think really as a place where the show can really grow and thrive and exist in person, which we're so excited for to do our first ever live episodes there and continue to get really, really big guests, you know, some of our biggest guests ever that we have lined up for next year already that we can't wait to record with and can't wait to do events with at the store. So I think that's obviously probably the biggest moment that we have, like really after doing 22, 23 pop-ups in the last 6 or 7 years to this really be all leading up to our first permanent door right in our backyard, you know, only a few blocks away from Robertson Boulevard where our first ever pop-up was back in 2017. So we have a lot of really, really exciting stuff planned for that that we'll definitely continue to roll out across Instagram over the next few weeks. So definitely stay tuned there. And then next weekend, actually, last week of October, we're going to be launching the brand in Asia with a shop and shop at a Dover Street Market, Ginza. So myself and some of the other team members are heading out there. Super, super excited for that. The brand's first entry into that huge market. And just, you know, I feel like Japanese culture and the way that they've adopted so many Western streetwear and contemporary brands and just really the way that they look at creativity and commerce and product and the culture at large. Like I said, I feel like there's really an awesome opportunity to introduce Mad Happy to that country and to that region. So we're super, super hopeful for that.
To touch on next week, I would say we have our biggest collaboration of the year, maybe biggest ever, part two of something that we did not too long ago, but should be exciting. If anyone has any guesses, they can they can email us. But
definitely going to be a big one, though.
Definitely a big one. And what you're saying about the flagship, I was just looking up the distance between our first ever store, 145 North Robertson.
0.2, 0.3.
And our newest store on Melrose. I don't know if we've said the address before, but 8906 Melrose. 0.4 miles, 9-minute walk.
It's crazy.
Pretty crazy. 6+ years later. So yeah, really exciting for us. We've learned definitely the hard way of, you know, what it takes, how much more work and time and effort, energy and money goes into building a permanent store versus, you know, what we've been used to, what you guys have been used to from us. But I think really exciting and really brings together a lot of different elements of the brand that we're super excited about. So we'll probably record a separate episode early in November, touching on all the different elements of the store.
I like that.
That could be exciting because we have a lot of surprises in store there. No pun intended. just a lot of big moments. You know, maybe too many now that the store is opening a little later than we anticipated. We have a bunch of seasonal shops opening as well, like you said, the launch in Asia. So a lot coming from us. What do you have for us today?
Well, this is something that I was thinking about. I've had like in the last month, probably just a few friends. I'm hearing from a few friends about just like similar themes of sort of just feeling stuck or like in a little bit of a rut. And I feel like it's definitely something that's super common for a lot of people in their late 20s, early 30s, you know, sort of figuring it out, whether you're just settling down and getting married or having a kid, or still sort of figuring out what you want to do or what your future looks like, but just sort of this like getting stuck in the routine and sort of like the mundane cycle of like life, you know, like stringing together just enough days in a row of like waking up and doing the same thing and going to bed and waking up and doing the same thing, you know, and sort of being in that like Groundhog Day, Truman Show sort of life, which can just feel really stuck and like not really feel like there's any space or room to break out. And I feel like the more and more that we ground into those habits and that routine, the harder it can be to sort of break out of it or to do those things that you know you want to do and that you enjoy doing, but you feel like you don't have time to do. And for me to hear a couple of people say this, you know, I think like one of the most interesting things is like when you tell someone else or like when you talk to someone about it, for them to hear it, and they're obviously not stuck in your life. So they see the things that you want to improve on as just like a little thing that you can just do. There's no reason why you can't do it, but you see them as these like huge mountains that you just can't overcome and you don't really understand why. And I think that was just a really interesting thing to talk about, because I do feel like there's so many small and little easy ways to break up the routine or to try and be more intentional with your time and do some of those things that you wish you could do, but you feel like you can't for some reason. And after I had heard it from like a few people, you know, I figured that it was a good thing to bring up on the show, because I just imagine that a lot of people of just, you know, different, you know, maybe like a 10-year age range of all different genders and living in all different places can sort of relate to this feeling and this idea in their own way.
I feel like there's a low level of this feeling for a lot of people consistently. And it's just a matter of whether or not you're like having a flare up of it, mm-hmm. or whether or not you're at peace with it. Like for me, certainly, I feel like I spend a lot of time searching for ways to push myself out of it. I also think it's interesting to try to name it. Like, would you call this low level depression? Would you call this anxiety? Would you call this just a rut? Like, how do you categorize it in yourself or with your friends?
I don't think I would go as far to say like depression, because I think that's clinical. I think it's like a quicksand, where I think you're right in the sense that like everyone, you know, for the most part, we all have jobs. We all have a routine that we have to follow, places that we have to show up and be every day, people that we have to go home and be accountable to every day. And like, that's sort of like the quicksand that we're all sort of living in every day. And I think if you don't be intentional with how you want to move and how you want to spend the little slivers of time that you do have, you can slowly just sink and it can get worse. And I think that's where some of those other things could maybe come out of.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like one of those things that you have to build, at least for me, you have to build things into your lifestyle consistently that give you an opportunity to push through that feeling. Because I do think it's like an ongoing, you can always potentially feel this way. You know, I get caught up in being like thinking that there's some other factors that are happening in my life that are sort of like cosmically keeping me from feeling like I'm making progress. But what I realize is like, it's about if I don't exercise, it's about if I don't see friends socially, if I don't eat healthy, sleep well, do some of the basics for myself, then there's just a much higher percent of me feeling like that. Sometimes it's unavoidable though, also, you know.
I think for me, a lot of it comes down to like everyone has a different mentality in the way that they view life, like their default ways of viewing life. And I think that plays a big role in everything is kind of how you look at it. So there's someone who can always find themselves or sees themselves in a rut often, even if they're going through the same situation as someone else who like almost never sees themselves in a rut. I don't know. I think for me, a lot of it is like,
which one do you think is like better or worse in that situation? Because I do think like ignorance is bliss in a way of the person who doesn't know they're in the rut, but then it's also harder for the person who's aware of their rut.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, I think you would say that in both cases, you know, awareness is very important, but also a rut is like, you can create a rut for yourself by saying, you know, saying, yeah, I'm in a rut. Like, yeah, I'm just in a rut.
Like a self-inflicted
this is
rut.
This is just my rut. And it happened last month. It's going to happen next month versus, you know, I've definitely gone through and continue to go through tougher times in my life, but I do think sort of finish what you were saying, both knowing you're on the right path, knowing that you're going to get whatever it is that you want, and then understanding that you just have to stick to the basics, even at times where maybe you don't want to. I do think that people have a lot more control over, you know, the words that you're saying to yourself in your head and the words that you're saying out loud, and then like how you're actually acting on those in real life. And I think a lot of it is like, you know, we're so used to like, you know, always be doing things. So like, we feel like if we're not moving forward, then we're moving backwards and all this sort of stuff. But for me, I think we do have much more power than we think ourselves, you know, and it's very easy to get sucked into like the idea of like, oh, you know, like this is such a tough time. And like, I always have three or four of these a year and like, blah, 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 whatever it is. Like, I don't think that you necessarily need to always fall into that. And I do think that you can work past that so that that happens to you less. Not that it never happens, or not that you never have down thoughts or anything like that, because like, that's not real either. But I think like acknowledging it, but then still believing, or even more like knowing that you're going to be able to, you will get past whatever it is that, you know, you're feeling in that moment.
Yeah, it's the power of positive manifestation and positive thinking. I do think, though, sometimes you have to shake the tree. Like, I think oftentimes we skip over the idea that, like, you know, sometimes when you're in a rut and you're feeling like you're in a rut for a long time, like, you got to shake it up. You got to do something different. You have to disrupt your own routine and your own rhythm. Like, sometimes ruts are driven by something, you know. You've been wanting to quit that job for a long time and start your own thing, or you've been wanting to, I don't know, go hike a mountain, or, you know, try something different, learn how to surf. Like, I do think you also have to listen to yourself and like disrupt your own routine. We get sucked into creature comforts. We go to work, and work is a creature comfort. We work all day, we work super hard. We come back, maybe we even exercise and eat, watch Netflix, go to bed, like whatever your routine is. Sometimes a rut is driven by just that. Like, you're in a routine that is not stimulating you in a new way. So I'm also a big fan of like planned disruption. Like, there's a big world out there, and, you know, you don't always have to be working. You don't always have to be thinking of the next thing. Like, so often the fear that we have that the world's going to end if we don't do a thing is not true, you know. It's not borne out. And so I'm a big believer too in like doing things that disrupt that, you know, even if it feels somewhat dramatic. It doesn't have to like mess up your life, but really trying to disrupt your own routine and do something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable but will shake your tree a little bit.
The other thing that was super interesting when I was talking to my friend is like, I feel like most people do have the awareness piece. Like, most people sort of know when they don't feel right, or, oh, I feel a little stuck, or I feel a little bored, or all these things. Like, I don't feel like the awareness piece is what's so hard, but then there's like a line in the sand. And then there's two kinds of people who, like, most of the people, I feel like for some reason, don't do anything about it because it's like, I don't have time, or I'll plan a trip, or I'll just spend some money, or I'll go out with my friends, or I'll sort of do this thing. And then just like enough time passes and there's enough moments and events in life that then you look up and it's like, oh, for 3 years I haven't been happy, or I told myself I would do this thing and it's been a year and I haven't. And then there's the other side of that where it's like, then the people who actually like do something about it, like that day or that week, all right, I want to climb that mountain. Like Phineas said, all right, I can't go to, you know, Patagonia right now, but I can go to Runyon Canyon like this weekend. Like, I'm just going to do that. And it's, you know, sort of those small, like little baby steps. But I thought that was an interesting point, how like awareness isn't even like really part of the solution. In like my opinion, like for most people, I feel like awareness can just be like a hindrance at times, because it's like, oh, I'm aware of it. So now I've like I'm aware of it. I know I have a problem. It's like, you know, but it's like, all right, but then what are you actually going to do about it? Like, being aware of it isn't like really solving anything.
Yeah, you're saying it's a cop out almost, because like people are just like, I'm aware of it and I'm going to figure it out.
It can be. And yeah, I like, and I can't do it right now, or like, and I just don't have the time for it.
Is that a big thing, would you say, in the addiction world as well?
I think it can be. I mean, I think in the addiction world, it's just all about like pain. Like addicts change when they're forced to make a change because their world is crumbling around them and they're no longer able to survive in the ways that they've learned how to cope and survive. So then they're forced to make a change, and hopefully that change is significant enough and can last long enough to really build a new habit and lifestyle around, with enough spirituality and enough recovery to believe in a new way of life.
One, I think the last internal we did talking about addiction, a lot of people reached out and really enjoyed that episode. So thanks for sharing everything you did on that. Two, I would say my hot take is that it's not that hot of a take, but it's that, you know, we're so good. Actually, this relates to a topic that I've been talking about in therapy as well, which is we're so good at like distracting ourselves and not even realizing we're distracting ourselves. So I think like true awareness is not like in that one moment being like, yep, like I know that I need to make a change, but it's actually like needing to spend hours and hours basically facing whatever feelings that you've been pushing down or away and not really facing. And if you think about like the average person or even like any of us, like what will happen is like, you know, we're so busy, like you said, so it becomes very easy to be like, oh, I thought about it in this moment. And then like 3 weeks later, I thought about it again. And then 6 weeks later, I thought about it again.
Yeah.
But if you have a practice in your life, and I guess like I'm realizing that it is very important to have more of a formal practice around it, of more so like stillness or no distractions, like then you are sort of allowing yourself to face it sooner. And I think that leads to true awareness. Cause one topic that my therapist brought up is like, you know, anytime we're doing almost anything that's like distracting ourselves, whether it's using our phone or, you know, I've been talking about here that when I drive home from work, I'm not listening to music or anything like that. But what I noticed was like I was doing other things then to like distract myself. So like I would like find a pen in my car and I'm playing with the pen, or like I'm like biting like my cuticles on my fingers, or I'm like touching my teeth, all this stuff, you know. And what I realized is like it becomes very like that's my distraction to face whatever it is that I'm actually feeling, you know, and like exploring how that could help me. And he said this one thing, which I wrote down, which is like, there's always this like energy that's going through your body. And like when you're doing those things, that's how you're releasing it. But if you actually like force your body to have to like integrate that energy itself without having this outlet, like checking Instagram, like that's where my energy, like then it forces your body to like feel those things more acutely. And like in that moment, you'll actually feel way more like alive than most times. Like I definitely noticed this when I didn't use my phone for like 36 hours. And I was just like, whoa, I had this like weird feeling. I'm like, oh, like this is what like every day is technically supposed to feel like. Well, because we're so distracted, it makes it a lot harder. So I just thought that was pretty impactful to me, because I even realized like, yeah, it's hard to make progress if like you only have tiny slivers of your day where you're not distracted, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, like max, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
So I think it just has push me to want to do more. But that was just today that we talked about that. So
no, I think that's a really great point. And it almost is like hard to hear because it's so true. And it's just like hard to get bigger slivers. Yeah. But yet like the larger slivers are really like necessary. And it made me even think of the word quicksand again, which now I really love that term for this thing, because it is like you said, of like you'll think of it for a sliver this week, and then a sliver in a month, and then a sliver in 2 months. And it's just like it's a slow like just consummation of like, and then you get like strangled by it, and then you feel so stuck because you're neck deep in the quicksand, and then you can't move, and then you like, and then you act out, or then you do something out of character, or you self-sabotage. And like when you get to that point, it's like almost too far gone.
And that's even like, how many people would you do you think like in the world will spend like 1 hour by themselves, even like in a park? Like what percent of the population will spend 1 hour, no distractions, in a park, like not moving? Like almost
a day
no
or,
one. No,
or
no,
like a week, like
a year even.
Right.
Like, so that's like,
yeah, never.
Yeah. We make all these
1%.
Like, we talk about all these things where we're like, oh, like, I know I need to do all these things, but like all those slivers you're talking about, like, I think don't even make a dent into like 1 hour spent alone at a park one time,
right?
Even a month or a
with
year
with your shoes off, feet
so,
in the soil.
So then it's like we all pretend like it's almost impossible for us to be able to do those things, you know? And just one other quote is, you know, we have all these like impulses, like what I was saying, like the distractions, you know, it's like, you know, even like you moving your feet, like right there, like he was like pointing out all these things that I was doing, which are very obvious when you point them out, but
you're just like,
but
for the rest of the
no life. But it's like when you don't, it's kind of like when you don't follow up on that impulse you're used to. So it's like you can do this through, let's say, like meditation, where it's like, oh, I want to check my phone, but like my eyes are closed, like I'm obviously like not able to check my phone. Then it says like your body is able to like reclaim those impulses and like integrate those. And then over time, like the idea of what's happening is like you become like more singular, like kind of in your focus. He said this like term, like one pointed, you know, whereas like usually we're like all over the place because we're thinking about like eight different things at once. And there's so much. So it's so hard, obviously. And that's why most people don't do it. And it's like, it's just so important. And I think will become more and more important, especially like as, you know, all the stuff that's happening every day in the world, and there's more and more opportunity to be distracted.
What I love about what you're saying is you're just describing not being distracted, and you're not saying like what's so simple. Like you're not talking about meditation. You're not talking about like, you know, going for a walk or like talking to, you're literally just talking about like remove the stimuli for intentional periods of time and notice the ways that you distract yourself and try not to be distracted and like reclaim that space. Like, I don't know. I haven't really heard it spoken to that simply before. It's like, you know, most people are like, oh, try and sit for 5 minutes and meditate and like close your eyes and like count your breaths. And that's still like a task. I'm always like, that doesn't sound that relaxing to me. It's just sort of, it feels like I'm still going to like compete with myself about like making sure that I'm the most clear-minded.
I just think like what I realized, like that a few times that I did like the no phone thing, was just like, you definitely feel this like different version of like this charge in your body. And you're just like what the fuck is going on? You know, like I'm like literally like, you're almost like in a, like a high type state because like,
yeah,
your body's so not used to,
yeah,
not having all of these distractions.
That's like just like the one pointed energy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's your body being like, oh, okay. Like this is like, oh, this is actually like my energy. Like I can like claim this. And, like,
yeah.
This is like oneness and like yourself, you know, because what he was saying is like, when you're doing all of these things, it's like, you know, when I'm biting my nails, I'm like, oh, whatever my body was going to think of in that moment, I'm not, because I'm moving my attention here, you know, or when I'm looking at all the cars moving, or when I'm looking at the time to see how fast I'm getting home, what all should I do every day?
So is it then like mostly just like fear based, or like these are traumas or fears or anxieties that we have about ourselves or other people or our lives that we're just quick to run from or distract ourselves
from?
Yeah.
So the question is actually, you know, the way that you figure out what it is by what happens when you don't do those things, what actually comes up.
What comes up?
I'd say like a lot of them are anxiety based. But I guess you can see what they are by sort of forcing yourself in that way. And that's why he thinks like, you know, like meditation is one of the best ways, because you're inherently like reducing the number of possible distractions.
Blocking out, yeah.
But even just when you're sitting, and he said like the first step is just being aware of it. So even if you are biting your nails or doing something like that, it's like, how often are you even aware that you're doing that or conscious of that? And then just like notice that you're doing it. And that's even like a good first step, instead of being like, oh, I need to like stop doing this today. And then like the next version of it is like, okay, like what am I feeling now that I'm not doing that? You know, which is like boredom or anger or anxiety or whatever it is. And then it's, yeah, like your body can better integrate that by having that space.
Yeah.
So then it's like, once you say it like that and experience it, then you're like, what the fuck am I doing by never putting myself in a situation like that, or almost never, you know, which is most people.
You're also not saying like, do nothing, right? You're just saying like, whatever you are doing, to just be extremely present in that.
Yeah, just trying to, and your mind can wander in all those things, but I think it's more just like not like noticing what things you could be using to distract yourself, and then seeing what happens when you don't do those things.
Yeah, I mean it's like super similar. Back when I struggled with like a porn addiction, like watching porn a lot, right? And I was working through it with my therapist, and she pretty much said the same exact thing that like Payman is saying right now, of just like, what you need to do is notice what is coming up for you right before you decide to watch porn. And it's like in that moment where we're faced with something that we go, oh, no, I don't want to deal with that. I want to distract myself with this. And it's like, you know, oh, I feel really shitty about myself, so I want to be aroused, or I want to look at like naked women, or I want to watch that and fantasize myself, and that makes me feel sexy or important or powerful, or like people will want me. And I think it's like with most like obviously addictive behaviors, but what Payman's enlightening us on is like really any of these little micro behaviors. It's like what's happening in the moment before we choose to do these behaviors that we don't want to deal with for whatever reason. And that takes like a real degree of like, you know, consciousness and effort to like pause in that moment and not go right, and really be able to reflect and introspect and be like, oh wow, I feel bad right now, or I feel sad, or I'm angry at that person, or, you know, whatever it is. And then that's sort of what we're dealing with that we need to communicate and process and be honest with ourselves about.
Well, the thing that's really resonating with me above anything else is like, you're not telling me to do anything. Like, I've never been able to establish a strong meditation practice. I've tried it a little bit, but I've always sort of felt like I was being told to join a culture or like do a thing that, or, you know, is associated with this whole world. I just love, because I definitely struggle with a phone addiction, or like it being fully my distractive, my vice is like my phone. And like, you're basically just saying like, no phone, you know, or like, no, try to limit distraction and be aware of it. It's like, I'm already like, damn, I can do that. I can, you know, I can do no phone for 8 hours on Saturday. I'm going to try, you know, but you're not telling me to like sit and meditate and like turn on an app and like count to 25. And I'm like,
well, I think even when you're taking like the subway, it's like, you've probably never like put your headphones away, put your phone in like your bag or whatever. And just like,
she's like,
gone. No.
13 years in.
Yeah, you know, and like it's a, so there's obviously a reason that we're not doing that. Yeah. You know, and like,
well, it's kind of like addition, like addition by subtraction too. Like, you're not telling him to add more complicated things into his life. It's like, you can actually benefit more by just removing some of the things. It's like, I'm not telling you to do all this.
And I think it's this form of it. Before, for me, I thought that, you know, this form was a lot easier than meditation for me initially. But now I'm saying that, like, I think I do need some sort of like more eyes closed type stuff, because I was finding that there's still a lot of distractions in like the world and stuff that I was doing myself.
So you meditated for a bit, I feel like, back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. And I've done it at times, but I think, you know, the benefits come after it's like just such a part of your life that, like, you know, you don't even like question it on a daily basis. And I don't know if I ever got to like that point, but now I'm just seeing the need and benefit of it so much more than I was before. But I do think having it in your day-to-day life where, you know, you're just, when you are taking the subway, like once a week, you don't listen to anything. Like, I do think that there's amazing benefit there as well. And then you can notice what you are feeling or what you're still doing to distract yourself in those moments.
I think it's an entry level step, which meditation probably comes after, you know, but it doesn't turn me off, which so often like these conversations, they don't turn me off, but they just make it like seem insurmountable. You know, I'm like,
you know, we had Jesse Israel on the podcast, like, you know, you talk to him about meditation and you're like, wow, it sounds amazing, but like, it sounds like sort of far for me to get to where you're at, you know? And he preaches the opposite of that. He preaches, you know, taking baby steps and doing it in ways that work for you. But it's even still like, this is a better first step for me.
For sure.
Well, that was great, guys.
Yeah, we got pretty deep. So we're excited to do a couple more of these this year. Thank you everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think and we'll talk soon.
Peace out.
Peace.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.